Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NBA History Channel is powered by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Welcome to another edition of Showtime with Coop. Insightful BS with my Laker teammates and NBA legends. And today we got a legend in the house. He's not only a legend in pro basketball, but here in Southern California, Lorenzo Romar. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. That's too heavy on that legend stuff, man. That's you. Come on.
Bro, listen, you know what? Anybody that came up in our era, early 70s and into the 80s and got the chance to play in the NBA is a legend to me, man. So,
okay.
Coach, first of all, tell me two things. We're going to go back a little bit here. Two things that your parents told you that you still hold true to you today.
Oh, my goodness. I got to go way back. Treat people the right way.
Okay.
Would be one. And pretty much to work hard and not depend on anybody to help you in that regard, but work hard and earn it yourself.
And those are things that you hold true today, as far as in parenting, coaching, your religious life, those things right there are very sacred to you.
Well, treating people the right way is very important to me, and also working hard is very important to me. I think both of those things are going to help you out in the long run. You can't go wrong doing either.
You know, Coach, both of us have lost our hair, but there was one point in time that we had hair. And I'm going to take you back to the early 70s growing up here. You went to Cerritos College, and then you went off to Washington. Talk about what it was like, you know, because all we ever heard growing up was the Rutgers League. East Coast players with this and that. Man, we had some bomb players out here. Reggie Theus, yourself, Reggie Miller, all these Southern Cal people. Talk a little bit about basketball back then.
You just know it was back then you played for the love of the game. Everybody wanted to eventually play in the NBA one day, but that wasn't totally why you played. You played because it was just so much fun. And Hoop, you know about Verbum Day High School back in the day, back in the early 70s. I went there my freshman year was 1973. The first day I was on campus before school started, you know, class started about 8 o'clock. I was on campus that day. I was so excited about 7:15. I get there, man, they're just guys playing hoops. The guys got ties on. Verbum Day had to wear a tie to school. Dudes are out there playing on the asphalt with ties, and I had never seen that much talent. There were guys that never played on the basketball team, on the varsity, that were just as good as the guys that played. But for whatever reason, drugs or lack of ambition or discipline, they didn't play. But just in one school, let alone where I grew up in Compton, they were just, you talk about legends that to this day, to me, they were in the NBA, even though they never made it because they were that good.
You know, bro, you said something that tinges me a little bit. You know, coming up in Pasadena, PHS, you know, Vernon Day was our nightmare. Were you on that team with Roy Hamilton and David Greenwood?
I wasn't good enough to make the team, but I was at the school then. David Greenwood, Roy Hamilton, they had a guy named Keith Anderson that you played against, Cal State Fullerton. Just a fantastic shooter. Even my first year there, the freshman, there was a guy named Lewis Brown that people forgot about. They went on to play at UNLV that was one of the top, if not the top, big man in the country. So, yeah, I'm very aware of Verbum Day and who they who we had over there.
Coach, going back a little bit again, taking you back, you were drafted. You were the 141st pick in the seventh round. And I laugh about that because I was in the third round. You know, I was very fortunate to go in the third round. Today, they ain't got but two rounds. In today's game, we wouldn't even be picked.
No. They figured if you're not going to make it, if you're past second round, you're probably not going to make it. That's kind of how they see it now. But I was the 141st player chosen, and I was fired up, man. I think back then they drafted some swimmer dude ahead of me. I could care less as long as they called my name out. But I remember when you got drafted, and I remember when you were weren't you guys working out at Loyola then?
Yeah, when we used to play at Loyola. But let me ask you this, Coach, real quick.
I found out I got drafted.
Yeah.
Crazy story, man. I was really anxious, so I just was up at the school, University of Washington. And I was just in the gym shooting around trying to pass the time. And someone told me, I think our sports information director found me in the gym and said, "You just been drafted by the Utah Jazz in the sixth round." And I was fired up, and he said, "Can I get a couple posts from you?" And he was asking me about it. And by then, they had already drafted their first pick, Daryl Griffith. You remember Daryl Griffith, the outstanding player at Louisville, Dr. Duncanstein.
Yes, sir.
And here I go, thinking I'm going to be with the Jazz. Yeah, it's going to be fun to go out there and play with Daryl Griffith and with the Utah Jazz. And, you know, had no idea I wasn't supposed to make the team, you know. So the next morning, I get up and read the paper to see, okay, look at all everybody where they got drafted. I said I was drafted, like you said, in the seventh round, 145th first pick by the Warriors. Wait a minute. Did I get drafted? What team am I on? You know, so I eventually found out that someone from Golden State contacted me and said that they had drafted me. So I waited for a few hours before I told anyone just to make sure that was true. That's how it happened, though.
So, Coach, you go to the Warriors, but you also play for the Bucks and the Pistons. Who are some of your favorite teammates?
Oh, my goodness. I'll take it team by team. With the Warriors, World Be Free was the most fascinating teammate that I've ever had in my life. He was hilarious. The guy, he could make you laugh. He made me laugh so many times. He had so much confidence out there. And as you know, he was a strong, athletic, outstanding scorer. But he was a favorite of mine. Mr. Mean, Larry Smith. Oh, my goodness. Larry Smith would not buy a bed early on because he didn't know if he was going to make the team. So he
what do you mean he didn't buy a bed?
He didn't buy a bed for his apartment. He didn't know he was going to make it. I don't trust these guys, man. I don't trust these guys. I'm like, Larry, you have to make the team. You're the best rebounder. I don't care if you're a rookie. I don't care if you haven't played. You're the best rebounder on the. I'm the one need to worry about this stuff. You're going to make the team, man. Get you a bed. And he was about as loyal a friend, a teammate as I've ever had, man. I love Larry Smith, so he's one of my favorites. Jobari Carroll. Was one of my favorites.
Now, hold up, bro. I'm not going to let you slide on that one. It's Joe Barely Cares.
I can't go there on my man. That's my guy. I can't go there on him.
hey, JP was a good player. I thought he wasn't just, you know what? He didn't fit the style that people wanted him to be as the big guy back then.
Exactly. Underappreciated, I would say, you know. Number of guys at Golden State. It was Purvis Short, man. He was another guy. These guys were hilarious. When I joined the Bucks, though, those guys, man, they were accustomed to winning. They were a family. Don Nelson and another organization that built an unbelievable culture over there. And Marcus Johnson, Sidney Moncrief, Junior Bridgman, Alton Lister, some of the core guys on that team were, they were just great. They were just great to be with. And then I was briefly with the Detroit Pistons and wasn't there long enough to really gain a lot of long-term relationships. But those are the three teams that I played on, and those are some of my favorite teammates.
You know what? You're listening to Showtime with Coop. We got Lorenzo Romar, Coach Romar, and we're going to get into your coaching side for a minute. But before we do that, we're going to get into what I call Coop's Lightning Round. I'm going to tell you about five people. You got to tell me as much or little about them. And make it more than a little.
Okay? I'll go too long if you tell me as much as I want to say. Go ahead.
Hey, we got all day, baby. This is your show today, okay? Let's start with Coach John Wooden.
Oh, my goodness. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Someone that you could talk about life and gain just as much. Or even more than if you talked about the game of basketball. John Wooden could have gone on and became a great teacher. He could have been a CEO. He actually was invited and offered an opportunity to coach a Major League Baseball team. He could have done anything. He was so brilliant, so wise, so smart.
And he was a man of faith such as yourself. Did he implement a lot of that in his coaching style as you do?
Hey there, sports fans. This is Nick Gelso coming to you from our East Boston studios. Now, if you're anything like me, you're missing the gridiron right now as football has winded down. But fear not, because I've got something to keep you and that competitive spirit alive. Let me introduce to you Prize Picks, the ultimate destination for daily fantasy sports. It's not just a game. It's your chance to go head-to-head, battling thousands of players. Just you, your picks, and the thrill of watching your winnings pile up. And folks, the action doesn't stop with football. As tournament season heats up and the race for playoff home court advantage intensifies, basketball takes center stage. And with Prize Picks, you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. That's right, America's number one fantasy sports app is here to make every moment count. With Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with just 4 correct picks. Whether it's NBA, NHL, or even college basketball, the opportunities are endless. And hey, did I mention you can play in over 30 states across the country? Now let me share a little secret with you. Prize Picks offers injury insurance, ensuring your entries stay live even if one of your players gets sidelined. Talk about peace of mind. Prize Picks gives it to you. And folks, speaking from personal experience, Prize Picks is a game changer. Download the app today. Use my code, our code, CLNS, for the first deposit match up to $100. That's right. They're going to give you up to $100 back if you use the code CLNS. Remember, on Prize Picks, you pick more, you pick less. It's that easy. Until next time, keep those picks coming and let the winning roll in.
He definitely did with all of his principles. You could see his faith written all over him just by the things that he showed you that he cared about you. He showed you that there were a lot of things important, not just the game of basketball, but his principles definitely were based on his faith.
Michael Jordan.
Something that I'd never seen before. I had played in the league, I believe it was 3 years, 4 years when he came into the league. And I'd watched him on television, and I remember I was with the Bucks when he came in the league, and we played them in an exhibition game. And it was when he was playing in the game, you know, we talked about it as a team, you know, and this is a little different right here. You know, the doctor was flying around everywhere doing all kinds of stuff. You knew that. And Dominique Wilkins had the crazy bounce, and you had some other guys there, but this thing was just a little bit different. And it was just like nothing I had seen before.
Did you have to guard him?
Thank goodness I did. No. No. Leave that up to dudes like you.
Which was a nightmare. Chris Mullin.
Chris Mullin, unbelievable shooter, great guy, was not intimidated by a thing. You know, he never got dunked on. He had no bounce, but he never got dunked on because, Coop, I don't know if you remember, but he had a knack for. If you were going up to dunk the ball, he would time it and slap it before you got it past your head. He just somehow knew how to do that. But arguably one of the best shooters in the history of the game that a lot of people nowadays would have no idea. But he could flat out shoot the ball.
Raymond Lewis.
Raymond was, you talk about not seeing anything like that ever. I'd never seen anything like that. Going to Verbum Day, Coop, you heard a lot about Raymond Lewis. I had never met Raymond Lewis. I watched him when he was at Cal State LA. I watched all that. I knew about everything he had gone through. And after my rookie year in the NBA, I was up at Cal State Dominguez watching like a free agent. A couple guys I knew were trying to get into the NBA, a free agent camp. And I looked across the gym, and there was Raymond Lewis. And he was about 30 years old at the time. But my first thought was, man, I've got to get better defensively if I want to stay in this NBA. I said, I got to work on my defense. I said, I'm going to go over there, introduce myself, and see if I can work out with him in this summer. If I can guard him, I mean, goodness gracious. So I did it. I went over there and introduced myself and asked him if he'd like to work out. And he said, sure. He showed up. And that entire summer, I think, Coop, it was the same summer you and I played together in the Pro-Am League and got to play him one-on-one probably 3-4 times a week. And it was embarrassing. It was frustrating because I could never win. And, you know, over the course of the year, I played guys one-on-one in the league, and every now and then, the superstars, maybe I could win. Never with him. And it was just crazy to play against that type of talent every day. It's a shame. And, you know his story. It's a shame he never made it to the NBA because he was unbelievable.
Now, people don't really realize how good. I talked to young kids on my team and talked to my son about it. They don't understand. This guy was good, man. And it's unfortunate, as you said. Last but not least, Coach George Raveling.
Wow. A pioneer. Now, you talk about a legend. You talk about someone that has impacted so many lives over the years as a coach, as a professional administrator, so many ways. Brilliant. George Raveling is one of the most brilliant minds to ever participate in our game. And I remember when he was at Washington State, I had just signed to go to the University of Washington, and I was at a high school game, I believe, and he was there scouting. I knew who he was, but had never met him. He was behind me, and I remember he just started, like, rubbing my shoulders, and I turned around to see who it was, and it's George Raveling, and he just said who he was, and he said, I've seen you play, that type of thing, and I'm going to be playing against you. And I talked to him for 5 minutes there, and I said, man, if that guy would have recruited me, I'd have gone to play for him. He just came across as warm and smart and vibrant and motivating and inspiring. He makes you just feel better just being around him. And that's what I remember about George Rappel.
You're listening to Showtime with Coop. We have Lorenzo Romar in the house today. Ro, do you know what today is?
Sunday the 17th.
It's St. Patrick's Day, baby. Now, Nick will love this because it's about the Boston Celtics. I don't believe that bullshit, but it's okay because that's what it's about today, Ro. Where your green at? You go get pissed, baby. It's St. Patrick's Day. Ro, real quickly, while we in the house, tell us a little bit about the Boston Celtics. Nick loves them. He likes to talk real big about them. I don't think they're going to win a championship, but you know what? They're a pretty good team right now.
First of all, that's a smooth lid you got on, man.
Every time he wears it, all his Showtime buddies bust his ass on social media. Get that hat off! Get that green hat off! All the pictures of the thumbnails, I put them in the green hat, so everybody thinks he's a Celtics fan now.
He looks like a lot of these dudes I grew up with in the hood, man, right now with that hat on. But
I like the brim.
Hey, yeah. don't tell me I look like a leprechaun, because I don't.
No, not quite. I'm not gonna go there.
I have a question. You mentioned Daryl Griffith and the Warriors. Was that what year was that?
1980.
So that was the McHale Parrish, Joe Barry Carroll, Daryl Griffith.
Yeah, Joe Barry. Joe Barry was the number one pick that year, and I believe Daryl Griffith was number two.
Yeah, but yeah. I think didn't they trade
Joe Barry was traded for Robert Parrish.
Right. And yeah. Then McHale landed and the rights to the third pick or something. And that's somehow
which was McHale, I believe. McHale.
And they could have taken Daryl Griffith. They took McHale. I think that was a good choice.
Good move.
Good move. Good move. It's funny now in Boston, all the old archives, right? They're all dead, but you got Bill Fitch, Red Auerbach, Jan Volk, and all three of them saying they're the ones that pulled the trigger on that. Oh, and then Bob McAdoo comes in and says somehow he pulled the trigger on that trade because he was involved in the trade somehow to Detroit. Yeah. Somehow all that happened. So they all fight over that trade because it was such a good trade.
Well, I understand why. Everybody wanted to be a part of that one. Everybody wanted to take credit of that one.
So you ended up with Golden State then when, like you said, when Mullen was in.
No, he was a little after me, but I know Chris Mullen for sure. Cool. Yeah, I got it. Can I tell a quick story?
Please, anything. Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. It's St. Patrick's Day, baby. Let's go.
Okay. Well, with Daryl Griffith's name, I brought his name up, and World Be Free, I brought his name up. I was with him when he changed his name, and it was I saw it on his license. But played.
Bro, first of all, what was his birth name?
His birth name?
Lloyd.
Yeah. Okay. That brings up another story. His real name was Lloyd Free, right? But he changed it to World Be Free. And I asked him what the B was for, and he showed me. He said, but I can never tell anybody. So I got to stay true to the word. I'm not going to tell anybody what the B stood for.
You don't take that to the.
Say that again.
Come on, Coop. Spit it out. There he is. Say it again, Coop.
You going to take that to the grave with you?
I got to take it to the grave, man. That was my guy. I got to take it to the grave. But when I was with the Warriors, two stories. When I was with the Warriors, we played you guys, the Lakers. And World had just changed his name from Lloyd to World Be Free. And I'll never forget, we go out for the tip off. And Norm says... I got Lloyd. And as you know, your buddy Norm, he could start some stuff. And World says, my name is World. And Norm says, I won't say what the first thing he said, but after that he said, your name is Lloyd. And then I guess World had a Muhammad Ali, Ernie Terrell flashback, and he started playing in the game. And every time he scored, he would say, what's my name to Norm? I don't even know if Norm remembers that, but I remember that. He'd say, what's my name? You know, your name is Lloyd. But anyway, we played the Utah Jazz that year. And before the game, you're going over the other team's personnel again. You're going over the scout again. And our coach, Al Addles, the way he would do it is the guy, whoever you were guarding, he'd say, tell us about it, because we had already talked about it. So he goes on and he talks about Daryl Griffith. It's our first time playing against Daryl Griffith. And he's ranting and raving about how high he jumped. He's one of the best rookies to come into the league in a long time. And you have to stop the ball. And if you don't get your hand up early, he's going to jump over and shoot. And he was just ranting and raving. He says, World, how are you going to play him? World thought a second. He said, you know what? Just give me the ball. I'll foul him out. No strategy how he was going to stop him. But I'm telling you, before that half ended, Daryl Griffin was in foul trouble and he was out of the game. Greatest thing ever.
That's like Bob McAdoo used to say. You said, "Dude, you don't play defense." He said, "My offense is my defense." So, Coach, listen. Right. You finish your career, and then you start a second career, which is so fabulous. I'm going to give you a little resume. You started in 92 to 96 at UCLA as an assistant. 96 to 99, you go to Pepperdine University. 99 to 02, you're at St. Louis as a head coach. 02 to 2017, you go to Washington, turn that whole program around, put a couple of great players in the NBA, just to mention one, Isaiah Thomas. From 17 to 18, you're at Arizona. And then from 18 to currently, you were at Pepperdine. What made you want to become a coach?
I did things that coaches do, but I'd never thought about being a coach. When I was younger, I love organizing things. I remember this seventh grader, when I was in the sixth grade, was talking trash. But we were talking baseball. I used to play baseball. And he was saying that they had more talented baseball players in the seventh grade than we had in the sixth grade. And I said, "No, you don't." And I eventually challenged them to play against us. And I arranged for the principal to let us have the last 2 hours off of school and go to the Wilson Park right down the street from our school to play this game, sixth graders versus seventh graders. And the whole school showed up. And I picked the teams, first base, second base, the lineups, the whole thing. And it was just, at that time, just putting things together, organizing, recruiting. And back when I was in college, growing up in L.A., I had probably 50 phone numbers of players around the area. You know, we didn't have cell phones. You had to write them down. And if I wanted to go play on a Friday night, I could just call whoever I wanted to call. Hey, we're going to play tonight at Friday night. And I would round all those guys up. I remember playing in the NBA and driving down the street, seeing a little kid struggling, trying to get a shot off by himself at this park. And I pull over. He doesn't know who I am. I just pull over and try to help him with his shot. Love working camps, love teaching, all things, a lot of things that coaches do. So finally, there came a point when I thought that's what I wanted to do, get into coaching. And Jim Herrick gave me that opportunity at UCLA.
You know, Coach, I forgot to add a couple of things. You were two-time Pac-12 champion, Pac-10 when they changed to that, three-time Pac Coach of the Year. You know what, Ro? It is so hard to now recruit and coach college kids. Tell us a little bit about that for you as far as recruiting these kids now, NIL and all this stuff going on.
The time when it got a little more difficult because during the one and done era, when you came out of high school, kids were at one point coming out of high school and kids were trying to find programs where they could allow themselves to get to the NBA as quick as possible. That made it a little more difficult. But now with the transfer portal and the combination of the transfer portal and the NIL, it has become a lot more difficult. It's just totally different. Kids want money. They want to get to the league as quick as possible. And they may not want to work for any of that. They just want a bunch of promises. It makes it a little more difficult. So I think it's more difficult, though, even when you recruit, is to consistently have the type of team out there that's going to win for you. Because if you're at the mid-major level, as I've been, then maybe you evaluate better than some others. You find some diamonds in the rough. They come and play with you. And after a couple of years, they develop. Now someone gives them an NIL that you can't match, like free agency in the NBA, and then you lose them. It's hard to plan your team from year to year because you literally don't know who's going to be on your roster from year to year. So for coaches that have grown accustomed to building teams and building that type of culture and the camaraderie, it's more of a struggle because you just can't plan for the long term. You kind of have to recruit and plan and build your program on a year-to-year basis.
And you know what, that makes it hard because now you don't see those dominant teams anymore. You know how Kentucky and UCLA and UConn and Duke always used to play? It's hard to build those teams now to keep that consistency.
Really is. I mean, we see the kid, Hunter Dickerson, I believe it is, was at Michigan last year, not this year, but he was at Michigan. I mean, Michigan is a great university. There's much tradition at that program, but, man, he got a huge NIL to leave and go to Kansas, and that's what he did. So even if you're at a blue blood, if you're at a Power 5 conference and you're coaching and you have a great player or great players, you can still lose them in any given year. So it's just, it's a new era in college basketball, but you just have to adjust. If you want to stay and do it, you have to adjust to it.
You listen to Showtime with Coop. We got Lorenzo Romar and Ro. We are powered by Prize Pick, Fantasy 5 and all of that. And the important part about that, though, with you is that you have a foundation. Tell us a little bit about your foundation.
Our foundation, my wife and I, mainly deals with family. Adoption is something that we've tried to help with kids that, you know, don't have homes and need families to support them. We believe the family unit is so important. It's a foundation of life a lot of times, and we try to help to that cause.
We wishing the best for you, man. I just love you. You'll land on your feet, man, and all my best to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Coop. Thanks for having me on, man. Always appreciated and admired you, man.
Thank you, bro. Take care.
All right.
Have a happy or unhappy St. Patty's Day.